Okay, we've been talking about Mythbusters. And remember the program was on TV, they would take some kind of myth, some kind of idea that people had and questions that people had, and scientifically try to prove whether or not that idea was true or whether it was simply a myth. And so what we're doing here is we realize that there are a lot of myths or ideas that people have about the Bible, about church, about religion, okay? And what we want to do with that is try to look at some of those and help people to see, are these things true or are they not? The problem is that people don't really know the truth about the Bible and what it has to say, and so they're very easily deceived. Satan is just as happy as can be when people are practicing religion without knowing the truth of God's Word, okay? Ignorance of God's Word is one of his greatest weapons that he uses. And so what we want to do is try to look at some of these different myths and try to help people to see what's the truth about those things, okay? So that's our Mythbusters. We're doing the biblical version of Mythbusters in here, okay? Trying to dispel whatever kinds of myths or bad information, wrong information people have out there about the Bible. We want to be able to see, what does the Bible really say about these topics or these questions or these issues, okay? Now, the primary reason for doing that is so that we can be able to teach other people, not just those in our Jerusalem, but as we've been talking about, throughout Judea, expanding our influence on other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? So today, the myth that we're going to be looking at is this. The myth that says there is no heaven or no hell. They simply do not exist. Okay? Let's begin by talking about this idea, eternity in our hearts. There are a lot of people who are living in the state of denial. Now, I don't know what state you came from, but I come from the great state of Texas, okay? And I am proud to be a Texan. But here's the thing. There are a lot of people who seem to have been born in the state of denial because that's where they live and that's where they exist all the time, all right? And so here's a sentiment that a lot of people have, and this is why they're living in this denial, okay? And they would say, it's not denial, I'm just very selective about the reality that I accept. And just think about it, that's the way a lot of people are living today. They pick and choose what realities they want to believe in and accept and which ones they don't. So the reality or the truth about something is not as important to them as their own personal comfort and convenience with whatever that issue has to be. Madeline Murray O'Hara, here's her stand, okay, on heaven and hell. There is no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there are no angels. When you die, you go in the ground, the worms eat you. That was her stand. Notice I say was, okay? She knows better than that now. Unfortunately, it's too late for her. Amen. She knows of the existence of hell and the existence of heaven. Okay? This particular woman, who is Ann Nicole Gaylor, she is the founder of the Freedom From Religion organization. Okay? And her take on all of this is, there are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that burdens, is that what it says? That burdens hearts and enslaves, oh, that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. I'm going to get these eyes fixed tomorrow, folks, okay? So I'll be able to see these better. All right. And again, she now knows that she was living with a myth, okay? Because there truly is a heaven and there truly is a hell. John Lennon, in his famous song, Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people, and here I think is where the real problem is, doing what? Living for today. Because that's the lie that Satan has passed upon the world. There is no afterlife. All you have to do is just enjoy this life. You're living for today, so eat, drink, and be merry. For the day we die, right? So this myth that there is no such thing as heaven, there is no such thing as hell. Time magazine in April of 2011 as their cover story had this. What if there is no hell? And this story that they had was really based on an article by a well-known preacher who wrote about that whole issue, whether there is a heaven or hell. And so the world takes this stuff in, and this is how they live. Smile and enjoy life because there is no hell. Some people believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. Okay? Now you kind of have to ask, well, why is that? How can you believe in one and not the other? Well, I think that a big part of that is that if you believe in heaven but you don't believe in hell, then you can live however you want to live and then still be able to go to heaven. You say, doesn't matter how you live, and we're going to talk about this in another lesson. God loves everybody, and so everybody's going to get to go to heaven eventually because there is no such thing as hell. And acknowledging hell would require people to have to make some changes in their lives. See? And sometimes people don't want to hear the truth simply because they don't want their illusions destroyed. We have a lot of people who are living basically in illusions in their lives. They don't want to hear the truth because that would kind of ruin everything for them. So heaven is real and everybody gets to go there, but hell is not. That's a real convenient, nice way to be able to live, isn't it? It's an illusion. Okay? The leader of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis, said this: "The church no longer believes in a literal hell where people suffer. This doctrine is incompatible with the infinite love of God. God is not a judge, but a friend and a lover of humanity." We wonder where those kind of ideas come from. Yes, there's a heaven, but there is no hell. You see? This is the leader of millions and millions of people religiously. That's the official stand of the Roman Catholic Church on heaven and hell. Here's the question. Is there really life after death? When it's all said and done, whether there's a heaven or a hell, that's really what it comes down to. Is there life after death? Now, depending on how we answer that question determines whether we need to do anything. If the answer to that question really is no, then there's really nothing else to discuss, is there? I mean, if there really is no life after death, then why are we even here? Why not just go out and live however you want to live, do whatever it is you want to do, because like Madeline O'Hara says, what's going to happen when you die? You're just going to go in the dirt, you're going to turn into dirt, the worms are going to eat you up, and that's going to be the end. So what difference does it make, ultimately, as to how you live? If the answer to that question is no, there's really not a whole lot else to talk about. Do whatever you want. But if the answer to that question is yes, and I believe it is, okay, then we have to decide what is going to happen to us when we die. You see, you can't just say, yes, there's life after death, and then leave it at that. You got to figure, okay, well, if there's life after death, then what's going to happen? what happens to people when they die if there really is life after death? And that's the real question that we need to challenge ourselves and other people with. And we can say to people something along this line. They'll say, well, I don't believe in heaven or hell. Well, you know, here's one way you can talk to them and say, well, okay, I do believe that there's a heaven and a hell. And just stop for a moment and think, if there is no heaven or hell, okay, then all we do is we just die, we get eaten by the worms and everything's fine, then it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference for you or for me, does it? So if you're right and I'm wrong, then we haven't really lost anything. But if I'm right and you're wrong, and there really is a heaven and a hell, say, then you're going to lose everything. You see, we have to decide what happens to people when they die. Takes us to our text that we started with this morning, Genesis chapter 1. God said, let us make man, how? In our image, according to our likeness, God said. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now, here's a question to consider. What does it really mean to be created in the image of Almighty God? Well, what it really means, and by the way, we are the only creatures of all of God's creation where that is said about us. So whatever it means, it separates us from all the other creatures that God created, from all the birds of the air, all the fish of the sea, and all the animals that walk on the ground. And what is that difference? What is it that separates us? It is the fact that we have a human soul, or rather an eternal soul. In other words, what makes us to be created in the image of God is that we are eternal beings. Now, I'm sorry to bust anybody's bubbles, but your dog and your cat, and I had one of the guys that I play golf with, in fact, it was Bobby Taylor, the fellow that was baptized back several months ago, asked me when his cat died. And he asked me, he called me, he said, do cats go to heaven? And I said, no, Bobby, they don't. They don't have a soul like we do. And that's the thing that separates us as human beings from the rest of all of God's creation. We have an eternal soul. So what that means is that when we die, our physical body will be destroyed. But the eternal part of us will live on. It will exist. In other words, yes, there is life after death. Because we have been created in the image of Almighty God. The wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11 said that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. Okay? Not in animals, not in birds, not in fish, not in anything else, but men. Say, we are eternal beings. Jesus himself had this to say, Matthew, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So you see, the significance of this for us this morning is that Jesus himself declares that we have a soul. We are eternal beings. So that whole myth about the idea that when you die, you just get eaten by worms and that's the end of things, that myth is busted. Because we have an eternal soul. We will live somewhere spiritually for all eternity when we leave this physical world. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 addressed that very question amongst Christians of the first century who were wondering and asking the question about resurrection. Is there really a resurrection? Or in other words, is there truly life after death? And Paul says, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached as you believe. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And that's what was happening. There were those saying, no, there's no such thing as a resurrection. They were kind of like Madeline O'Hara saying, hey, when we die, the worms eat us and that's it. He says, no, there is a resurrection. He goes on to say, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up if in fact the dead do not rise. So in other words, basically saying, so what's the point of all of this? Our faith is empty if there's no such thing as a resurrection. There's no point in any of this. In verses 17 through 19, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Look at verse 19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. In other words, if that's all we believe about in Christ, that that's all we have to hang on to, is so we can have a good life here and now, and there is no resurrection, there is no afterlife, we're to be pitied more than all men. Why? Because we've been hoping for something that doesn't really exist. There is a resurrection. Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the grave on the third day. As many, many witnesses testified. Okay? So, that brings us then to this question, one or the other. Okay? In other words, we need to look at and answer that question. If there is life after death, where are we going to spend it? Where do we go? We turn to the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25. And in that parable that Jesus tells, he says that on the judgment day, okay, which is after everybody has been either died or been taken up to heaven, he says he's going to separate everybody like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And notice that he says to those on his right, that is the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and do what? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he talks about the response where they would say, he said, for whenever you saw someone that was hungry, you gave him something to eat. When you saw someone that was thirsty, you gave him something to drink. When you saw someone who was naked, you gave him some clothes. All of those things. And they said, well, when did we do these things? And he said, whenever you did it, what? For the least of those, my brethren, you did it for me. Okay? Then shall he say to those on his left, he goes on to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? For when I was hungry, you didn't give me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink, and so on. All right? And then look at the very last part of this. Okay, eternal fire for the devil and his angels. Verse 46. They, that is those who did not do anything to take care of others, he says, they will go to where? Eternal punishment. But the righteous to eternal life. Now, notice Those are the only two choices, aren't they? Okay? That's the only two choices. There's eternal punishment and there's eternal life. Both are eternal. One is punishment, one is life, but there is no in between. There's no option C here. It is one or the other. The story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Jesus tells this story of two men, one who is a wealthy man who has everything that he needs, and there is this poor man who had nothing, and he sat there at the gate of the rich man, and he longed to have the scraps to eat that fell from the rich man's table, and the dogs would come and they would lick his sores. This man was so poor, he had nothing. And Jesus says that in time, both of those men died. Okay, and then here's they end up one in Abraham's bosom, that is the poor man, and one in hell. And the rich man calls out to Abraham. He says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. Why? For I am in agony in this flame." So he is in a place of agony. Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now, notice this, he, that is Lazarus, is being comforted here and you are in agony." And besides all of this, between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. So Jesus establishes in this parable that there are two places. One that is described as a place of comfort, the other that is described as a place of agony. And you cannot cross from one to the other. There's this great chasm between the two. So what does that tell us? At the point where we die physically, okay, we're going to go to one of those two places. And once we are there, there is no changing that status. That's where we will spend eternity. In one or the other. So let's talk about the one or the other for just a moment. The abyss versus the new heaven and the new earth. Okay, again, it goes back to our whole question. Is there really a heaven or a hell? Revelation chapter 20. John says, "I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon." And notice how he identifies who this dragon is. That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. All right? "And he bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more." So at some point then Satan is bound for this period of 1,000 years, he's thrown into the abyss or this pit, and it's sealed up. 1,000 years later, or when the 1,000 years is ended, okay, then Satan is going to come out and he's going to rise and challenge Christ's rule. But he will do that how? Unsuccessfully, because here's what it says next. "Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city." So there's the final battle that we are still facing, okay? Look at the very last line. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That is all those who are the enemies of God. Okay? Verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night. For how long? Eternity. Forever and ever. Okay? Revelation chapter 21, John continues, saying, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm looking forward to. You see? All right? But you understand there's one or the other, isn't there? There is an abyss, a pit of hell, torture, pain, and then there is the presence of Almighty God, which is without pain, without crying, without tears, without mourning, without death, without any of those things. But understand, those are the only two choices that we are given. One or the other. The Bible makes it very clear that they both exist. Okay? So, that myth, that there is no such thing as heaven or hell, all right, it's busted. There truly is a heaven and there truly is a hell. Hell is not a place that I would wish my worst enemy to go to. It's going to be that bad. Heaven is the place where we want to be for all eternity. But you need to know and understand this. The only way for anyone to get to heaven is for them to die to themselves, to give their life to Christ Jesus. And you need to understand that if you have not done that, then your destiny, unless you change that, is hell, because that's the only other choice. But the great news is this. It doesn't require your good works, as we talked about before. Doesn't require all jumping through a whole bunch of hoops and everything else. What it requires is for you to admit that you are a sinner. To call upon Jesus as your Lord. To repent of the sin that right now is separating you from God. And to have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do all of that right now. You don't have to wait. You can become a child of God right now if that's what you're ready to do, to make that commitment. If there's something else that we might be able to help you with this morning, we have an opportunity right now for you to come and let us know what we might be able to help you with, to serve you in some way. All you got to do is come up and let me know. Or, if you would like, Ray and Dale will be in the back to talk to anyone. If you want to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them, they'll be in the back to receive you there. We have an invitation song that Tom has chosen for us. And we use that as an opportunity for anyone to come and to say, hey, this is what's going on in my life. I need some prayers. I need some guidance. I want to thank God for this going on in my life. Or to say, yes, I want to become a Christian. And you can do that right now. Let's stand together and sing. Tom?